We've got a most interesting guest today, Mike Casper, who has studied snakes for over 30 years and knows probably more about snakes than I know about wild turkeys. So I'm glad to have you here, Mike. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You know, people think about snakes and most people just freak out. Let's just face it. Our society has been taught since Adam and Eve to fear snakes. Why don't you tell us, start telling us, first of all, about all the benefits that snakes provide.
Sure thing. Typically, people automatically defer to, well, they control mice and rodent populations, and they do, and it's very important to our ecology for that balance. But if you're afraid of snakes or you dislike them, you can easily discourage that and say, well, there's other means of doing that. So we need to look at what are the benefits to us as individuals, as people. And what we are finding really very recently has been very exciting is unlocking the mysteries to what venom is and how it is made up in the proteins, and then using those proteins, because they're within the snake's body, when they're not venom, those proteins perform good functions. And we are now able to use those proteins to treat things like breast and ovarian cancer. Copperhead venom, we discovered in 99, actually has a protein called contortristatin, which helps to prevent the spread of breast and ovarian cancer. Ground rattlers have been used to treat stroke victims. Just this last year in 2017, there were two different snakes in South America where they've discovered proteins. One has a protein that has an affinity to seeking out brain cancer cells and destroying them, which we know brain cancer is something we can't do surgery on or what have you. And because these are proteins are naturally occurring within these bodies, they don't have the side effects that man-made chemical medicines do have. So we're opening up a brand new world and finally starting to understand the benefit of saving lives, from venomous snakes.
So that's unbelievable. I've never heard anything about that, but I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of benefits that we already know about, or you already know about, and there's probably plenty more that are undiscovered and, you know, need to be brought to light. So, I mean, another thing, we were talking about this earlier, you said that I'd like to hear those statistics on the realistic snake bite danger. I mean, how many people in the United States are dying every year from snake bites?
It's the average is less than 5 people a year. Okay. When you go back and look at records for the last 20 years, there are years where there were 0 deaths, 1 or 2 deaths. On a high year, you'll have maybe 6. And interestingly, when you look at the circumstances behind those, about half of those are people who refuse medical treatment, whether it be for religious reasons or just old-fashioned remedies, hard-headedness, what have you. And then there's always the risk. Occasionally, you'll have someone who's allergic to the venom. It's highly unusual to have that allergy. But it does happen occasionally. But the real numbers are, you know, about less than 5 people a year.
Well, that's probably a lot less than a lot of other things that we we aren't scared of. So, I know when I was growing up, I lived by the thought that every a good snake was a dead snake. So I've killed my fair share of snakes. But in recent years, I've kind of just let them go, honestly. When I'm hunting or something like that, if I'm not immediately threatened, I just go around them or whatever. And then maybe if they're around my house, I do still take them out. But let's talk a little bit about safety precautions. So, you know, there's snake-proof boots and snake chaps and those kind of things. But what can we do to stay safe?
You kind of have to look at it, take this in two parts. First off, this is an outdoors channel, so we talk to a lot of outdoorsmen that are hunters and fishers and go out there and spend time in outdoors. And it's ironic that what we do in the woods, we ride four-wheelers, over 400 deaths a year on four-wheelers. We climb tree stands, 75 deaths a year out of tree stands. These are deaths, not just injuries.
Right.
There are so many other things out there that we know when we take on this sport. So we teach hunter safety. We teach tree stand safety. We teach how to do four-wheeler and safe operations. So we learn about those things and teach safety versus we don't just destroy them. But for some reason with snakes, just because of that upbringing and for decades and decades of only good snake is a dead snake, it seems like the only answer for snakes is to kill them. It's the same thing. If you're going to spend time in the woods, you need to spend some time educating yourself on what snakes are out there, how to properly identify them, and safety precautions, like, you know, if you're going out on a warm day, like turkey hunters are coming out, and oftentimes you have that warmer weather, you need to have snake chaps and pay attention to your surroundings, no different than wearing hunter orange or the other safety precautions that we take while we're in the woods.
Right. So, and you mentioned teaching. You're speaking about your organization, REACH, which
yes.
stands for Reptile Education, Awareness, Conservation, and Husbandry, correct?
Correct.
Tell us about REACH.
It's a nonprofit organization that we started a couple of years ago. We felt there was sort of a need for it in the community, where a lot of areas have reptile groups, and those groups are based on a bunch of other people that like reptiles get together, and they learn about reptiles, and it's really good, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there wasn't anything taking it to the people who were interested in learning. I've been in education for all of those 30 years, going into schools, but I'm doing it on just an individual basis, what I can. So this group was designed to bring those of us that have the knowledge and experience and the dedication to the reptiles in contact with people who are at least open-minded and willing to learn. Maybe are starting to say, you know, maybe every good snake is a dead snake is not the way to go, but I'm still not sure what to do in my yard, what to do when I see a snake, and we want to bring those people in and help give them good information, not bash them. I get a lot of pictures of dead snakes, you know, hey, can you identify this? And I'll be honest with you, you know, 20 years ago, I used to be rude. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter for you to kill it before you took the picture. Why does it matter now? Well, that doesn't help my cause at all.
Right.
So now, even though I dislike seeing those pictures, I don't berate anybody because they're scared. They don't know any better, and that's what they do. And then I identify that snake and then try to give them some good information on maybe next time letting that, you know, passing on killing a snake.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners have yards with children playing in them. Let's talk about how to safely remove a snake from your yard.
That's a good question, and we talked about the wood side, but within homes and yards and stuff, that's where a lot of these snakes get killed, and it's based on our desire. I have kids, and we have a desire to want to protect our children and what have you. I go back to education, though. There are things in your home that are far more dangerous that your children are exposed to daily. We teach them, don't stick your finger in a light socket. Don't eat the Tide Pods. Don't, you know. We teach education to try to do that. But, again, with the snakes, because we don't know any better, it's always been killing. So, with snakes, a couple things about your yard. You know, keeping it mowed and kept up is a good thing. If you leave piles of wood, piles of leaves, things like that that create habitat, then you are inviting that opportunity. So if we eliminate the habitat, we lower the risk of even being able to see a snake in there. Leaving toys in your yard for long periods of time that snakes can crawl underneath. Mm. Typically what happens is you put these wood piles or leaf piles or tall grass or shrubbery in your yard. It invites insects, which then invites the rodents, which then invite, you know, so it's just that circle of life kind of thing. So if we can eliminate the habitat as best we can, we reduce the risk of encountering a snake. I will say, because this always comes up when people ask about products, there is nothing, I stress this, and I know you're going to hear all the wives' tales about lime and sulfur and mothballs. There are no products on the market that keep snakes out of a yard. It doesn't work. A lot of the stuff that's advertised is based on you seeing a snake is rare. So you put this stuff out and then you never see a snake again. You're going to attribute it to that product. Well, that's no different than I could go pour Coke in my yard, and then if I don't see a snake, then all of a sudden Coke deters snakes. It doesn't work that way. Your question, Alan, about removing a snake is a difficult one to answer because it really based on your comfort level. When you attempt to either capture or kill a snake, you are then become putting yourself at risk versus if you have the opportunity to just leave it alone, it's going to disappear and be gone and never see it again. But if you find yourself in a situation where there's no other alternative and you feel like I need to remove it, my recommendation is using a garbage can or something that's large, and then you can use any kind of a broom or rake or something like that that you can keep a safe distance and maneuver that snake into a can, stand it up, you know, and then you can safely remove it.
You can transport that snake to, you know, in the middle of somebody's woods and get it out of the neighborhood too, so that's good.
Correct.
We've been listening to Mike Casper share his 30 years of knowledge and study in snakes, and I've already learned a lot of things that I didn't know. Mike, I always get tickled when I see a Facebook post of a dead snake, and somebody wants to know what kind of snake this is. Well, it's a dead snake. That's the first thing. Should have identified it before you killed it. But anyway, Let's talk about identifying snakes, and I know it takes years and years of practice like you do to identify all the snakes immediately, but how can we educate ourselves with that?
Well, the reality is people want sort of a quick bullet, you know, magic bullet, you know, show me one thing and I look at this color and I can tell snakes, and that is absolutely the worst way of looking at it. It's funny to me, again, especially in an outdoors community, when you know, for duck hunters, do they identify duck by color? No, they learn physical characteristics and wing shapes and flight patterns and things like that.
Exactly.
Same, you know, if you hunt, you know, deer out in the West where you have both mule deer and whitetail, you're not looking at colors. You learn physical characteristics. Well, snakes are no different. And so if you truly want to learn how to identify snakes, you have to take some study. You have to understand and learn what types of scales to look for. So when you're looking at a book and it explains that this particular snake has keeled scales, well, what does that mean? Too many times we post a picture on Facebook, and when you put it on Facebook, you're going to get 4,000 guesses. It baffles me, some of the guesses that come out, because people will then go to the internet, which can be really useful, but it can also be a tool of death, because you can put any kind of picture, any kind of thing, and, well, that looks similar. I get in discussions with people, and when I identify a snake, I tell you what the snake is, and if you want to know why it's that way, I'll tell you these are the characteristics that identify that snake as what I'm telling you it is, versus someone who says, well, I was born in Louisiana, so I know what the snake is. Mm-hmm. The sad part is most of us, myself included as a child, you know, you grow up with your mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas, you know, they see a snake in the yard and you're 3 years old or four or five, and they just, oh, that's just an old guard snake, or that's an old chicken snake. And so you grow up thinking that's what that is because you trust that's the information. Mm-hmm. Fact is, they were told the same thing when they were five, and it's just misinformation that's been passed down from generation to generation, and it really takes a lot of time. You're not going to just get online on Google if you don't have experience with snakes and be able to 100% accurately identify a snake. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Even buying books, I know, Alan, you had asked about books. Peterson guides are really good, but even there, you take one picture of one type of snake, and you're trying to identify just by matching a picture, and color variations, pattern variations, all of that stuff changes from not only within different snakes of the same species, but even an individual snake can have different color appearances throughout its life cycle. When it's getting ready to shed, it's not going to be the same color as when it comes out of shed. It takes time. I encourage folks, this is one of the reasons that our group Reach exists, is we hold educational programs for doing snake identification and workshops and stuff. If you really want to learn how to identify snakes, you need to get with groups like that that can give you some very in-depth examples of and comparing with live snakes, so you know what you're looking at when we talk about what a keeled scale is or what a dorsal scale is. What is it? What's the rostral scale? What are these things?
Down in the Everglades of Florida, there's a real big problem now with pythons. These pythons have just taken over down there because they've been released or have escaped from people that kept them as pets. What is your opinion of keeping snakes as pets?
Well, the pet discussion can be very touchy. I have some very strong opinions. I do keep them myself. But this answer can go for snakes just like it can dogs, cats, or anything else. To me, pet ownership is a great responsibility. You're responsible for that animal, whatever species it is, whatever it is, from the time that you get it until the time it passes away. And you're responsible for providing it a good home, food, all the things that it needs, because you've taken on that no different than a child would be in your care. It's a choice to do that. You can't decide, if I have a dog and I don't want it anymore, I just turn it loose. That's irresponsible, and we know that. We got irresponsible dog owners, irresponsible cat owners. We unfortunately have irresponsible pet owners or snake owners or reptile owners. And that's another thing that our group focuses on, is trying to improve our own. We are policing ourselves as a hobby so that people look at us and say, these guys are responsible. So I think responsible ownership is good. There's, you know, bad apples in every bunch, and it makes us all look bad when they do stuff like that.
Right. Well, you mentioned teaching. We talked about your organization, Reach, mm-hmm. which is Reptile Education, Awareness, Conservation, and Husbandry. Where can folks find out more about Reach?
We have a website that is Reach One, Change One. and that is the number one, reach the number one, and change in the number one.com. Or you can follow us on Facebook. If you go to Facebook search and do Reach One, Change One, we have a public page, but we also have a private group. I encourage people to follow both. The private group, a little more controlled. I'm sure you know how Facebook works. When you have a public page, anybody can post all kinds of stuff, and so it gets cluttered. Within the private group, we control it a lot better with the membership, so we don't have advertising in for sales. It's a very, you know, informative group, and it has a wide range of group of members that are there, from people like myself that's been doing this my whole life to people that are really don't have snakes or have any kind of reptiles but want to learn. Reach out to there. It'd be a good way to follow us there.
This has been a very interesting and educational interview. I really appreciate this. We're going to have you back again.
And I appreciate you having me.
Talk some more about snakes.
We could go on for hours.
All right.